Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start off by praying. So I think that's important. So yeah, if you want to bow your heads. Yeah, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will, I know you're already amongst us, Lord, but I just pray that you will just speak to us this morning, Father God. I just pray that you will give me the words to say, Lord, and as Sir Simon said, to eyes to see and ears to hear, Father, and to be receptive to what you're saying, God. And yeah, let your will be done in this service, Father, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Well, I hope everyone is well on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's rather cold, isn't it? But hey, hon. So literally, I got here, me and Josh got here an hour and a half earlier this morning. So we sat in McDonald's, because we come from London this morning, so we literally sat in McDonald's for like an hour and a half, just like, okay. Because as Joshua knows, I'm one of these people, like, I cannot be late.
No.
Honestly, the thought of being late, I would rather be 2 hours early than be late. Like, I don't know if anyone's, when they've gone like, on holiday or something, I am the person that needs to be at the airport 2 hours before. Yeah, I don't even care. As long as I'm in the Costa coffee, do you know what I'm saying? And I can see it there, I'm fine. Anything other than that stresses me out. So anyway, so it's just so exciting to be with you all today and just to be like God's people in God's presence. Like, it doesn't get more exciting than that. But today, I have named my sermon, Transformation Through Trial. You know, trial's a big word. And I think it's a bit of a scary word, and it's a word that we probably don't want to talk about. Because, obviously, trial's trial. But we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. So if you've got your Bibles on you, or you have special phone Bibles, you can look at that too. So I'm just going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're just going to sort of go along in sections to say you're preempted. So this is what it says. So my first part is called Destruction by Fire. Lovely words. So it says, now when David and his men came to Ziklag, on the third day, you're going to have to bear with me with the words, like I'm not blessed with saying the long words. The Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burnt it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Not good business, not good business. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives had also been taken captive. Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, and for his sons, each for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So I don't know about you, but we can feel like there's seasons in our life when everything is burned up or burning up. You just look around you and there's like this problem going on, you've got this problem going on, problems that you didn't even think could go on and going on. And sometimes we can feel like God is absent in those trials, and we're just looking with our earthly eyes, God, what do we do in this situation? Like, how do we sort out these earthly things and have wisdom to go forward? So if we think about David here, who is known as a man after God's own heart, You know, a man who's like seen and loved by God. I mean, we were loved by God, but you know what I'm saying. He was a special man. So, well, basically, he comes home and the home is destroyed. It's on fire. His wives have been taken. Like, let's just visualize this right now. It is not a good day for David. And in fact, his credibility and his reputation was completely ripped apart as well. Because as we can see, the people were so angry with David. Because almost as if he's allowed it to happen because they didn't have the people to protect that place. It says that he was greatly distressed. And this can mean extreme sorrow, pain or anxiety. He was at the very end of himself. It looks as if he had lost everything, or would appear so. Can you imagine? We want you to visualize this now. Coming home from Tesco's, or Waitrose, or Asda, or Lidl, and you come home and the house is alive. Your husband, wife, children has been taken somewhere that you have got no idea. Just imagine and just visualize yourself. How would you feel? I don't have any children, but we do have dogs at home. And I know Butterboy and Teddy Bear like were gone and probably go crazy. And I'd be very distressed, even though he is a naughty boy. I'd be very worried. But just can you imagine how David would have felt? He would have felt like he'd lost everything. His credibility, his reputation, his humble abode at home, and his lovely wives. And how can you imagine that much stress that he would feel? But I feel what the Lord is really emphasizing here is, and the Lord has spoken to me the word Ziklag a few times, sort of to confirm that this is what he wanted me to speak about. And when you actually look into the Hebrew word for Ziklag, which is the place where David's home was, it says, somewhere where pressure was put on every side to reveal what is inside. How crazy is that? That is what the place is. And not only that, it can also mean, the verb can be used to describe the melting of an ore to find the metal purified inside. So it's almost like God allowed the fire and all that disastrous stuff to happen to reveal what was inside and in David's heart in preparation for what he had to come. Because at this point, David was not a king. He was just doing all the conquest business, but he was not a king. So God allowed this to happen, this refinement and this preparation, so that he could be prepared for the great glory. And I feel that's the same with us. So if you're going through a time of fine, I really feel like that's what the Lord's been saying to me. And this is the season that we're in, is a time of purification and preparation and a time of fire ready for his great glory that he has prepared. And I really believe that it is going to be revival. It's going to be a greater glory. So instead of us sort of thinking, God, how do I get myself out of this situation? We have to push through this situation, knowing that we are going to be strengthened, we are going to be refined, and we are going to come out as pure gold. I don't know about you, I'm going to be gold. I'm about the gold life, so bring it on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So this brings me to my next section, which I've named Reaction. How are we reacting in these situations, right? So something happens, either something catastrophic, or in the small sense, you're driving somewhere, the sat nav's taking you down some weird, bizarre road in the middle of nowhere. How are we reacting? So of course, we can see that David was extremely distressed. But rather than focusing on how bad the situation is, he is spurred on to seek God and to strengthen himself in God. So this is what verse 7 onwards says. And it said, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord." Oh my goodness. Hello. Of the Lord. Of the Lord. Oh, that's so funny. "Shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them?" He answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake and surely rescue." So David set off, and the 600 men who were with him. And they came to the brook Bezor, where those who were with them left, where those who were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and he and 400 men, 200 men stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross the brook Bezor. So when these situations happen, what are we doing? We should come to the Father. That should be our first point of call, rather than freaking out. It's like, God, I'm like, what do I do? Come to the Father, seek his face, and ask for his counsel. We no longer have to put on the priestly ephod. We can come before God through Jesus, where the veil is torn. We are clothed in his robes of righteousness, and we can come to him knowing that we are secure in God. God instantly hears our prayers. His ears are open, and his face is towards us. And this is what Hebrews 4:16 says. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." His grace is right there waiting. The Holy Spirit, when you've given your life to Jesus, his Spirit lives in there. He is not up in the clouds somewhere waiting to, you know, somewhere else. He is right here. And in his faithfulness, his grace is there, and he is listening to every word. And I mean, I'm sorry, it just gets me. God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. And I think that's what we need to fix our eyes on. His mercy and his faithfulness and his grace. And 1 John 5:14 says this. "And this is the confidence that we have toward him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." It's amazing. So though it appeared that all was going downhill for David, David had a vision. He had a heavenly perspective. When things were going down, his eyes were going up. He had a vision, a heavenly perspective that looked beyond his situations. Know that when you are going through the fire, God is doing something so incredible in your life. Sometimes these hard, horrendous situations happen that God allows because you are being transformed. You are being transformed into something so great. You can't even imagine. It's only when you're beyond the storm and you're beyond that situation that you can look back and say, "Do you know what, God? That was horrendous. That was one of the hardest times of my life. But you have been faithful. You have brought me through. This pain and this suffering is not for nothing. You are going to use it for good and for your glory. And you are going to have a testimony that's going to blow the roof off the place." In a good way, in a good way. So something we notice here as well, that is, David did not hastily go to the Amalekites. He did not hasten and say, "Do you know what, my wife's over there, I need to go and rescue them. I can't even think, I just need to do." How often do we look at our situations and we think, do you know what? I can't even think. This situation needs sorting out now. I need to go and do it. But what God is asking us to do is he wants us to take a step back and say, okay, God, you are Lord. I'm going to humble myself before you. I'm going to sit at your feet and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I could just go here and sort it out, but actually, your will is for me to come to you and ask you. And he will give us wisdom. He will give us guidance. It might not come through an audible voice, which sometimes, you know, would be amazing. But he will speak in so many different ways. We just have to be willing to take the time to listen, regardless of our circumstances. This is something that God has spoken to me about often. I'm a stressor. Joshua will tell you, I'm a stressor. As I said with the time, I'm just a stressor. And it's, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, what do I do with this situation? But the fact is that, like me, God wants us to come say, okay, Megan, stop looking at your own perspective and look with heavenly eyes. Look with my eyes, with a creator's eyes, knowing that I am over all. And I can do amazing things. So has anyone watched the Taken series with Liam Neeson? No. Simon has. All is well. Yeah. Lisa, Sophie, yeah. So, if we think about Liam Neeson, as soon as he finds out that the daughter's gone, he's on it. He is on it. And he is on a mission. And yeah, obviously he didn't consult the Lord. So what we're saying is that rather than being on it, we need to look at it and say, okay, we do need to be pragmatic and we do need to do things, but we need to come to God and say, God, help us. Because he is wise and he is awesome and he's got a plan. Hallelujah. So it is interesting as well to see that the amount of men that came with David was less. And they didn't, after they travelled over the brook Besor. It would have been easy for David to stress out, by the way, thinking, Lord, look, I'm going to rescue the women and the children, but now I've got less men. How is this even going to happen, Lord, if we can't come and take them out? And then they go on that side and we do things like that. What are we going to do, Lord? But if we go back to Gideon, you remember when I spoke about Gideon? There was that time where God reduced the amount of people so that he could be glorified. So this is in the same way. There was less people, but this was an opportunity for David and the people to trust in God for a miracle. So we shouldn't stress out, but it's difficult. So this brings me to my next point. How are we treating other people while we are in the fire? Okay? It can be so easy to lose track and we're looking at ourselves. Oh, it's my situation. Like you just, sometimes that's what we do, isn't it? Like you're going through something and it's constantly, it's like I'm just looking down, like I'm in an awful place, this is going on, this, I can't even think about anyone else. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to do life with myself. The Lord's got me as the iceberg and like the little tits up, like then the rest is underwater. Like, God, what do I do? And another one is true, isn't it? We've all been there. And there's a little bit above the water and the rest is like completely submerged, like the Titanic. But how about anyone else that has been in the car? So we're going back to the car analogy. And then you've gone wrong, or the petrol's running out, or somebody's told you, you know, go left and it's actually right, and you end up in the middle of nowhere in the forest or something. I don't know if anyone's had that happen to them. No. No, I haven't had that happen to me, but I don't want it to happen to me. Anyway, sometimes it would be so easy to take it out on the other person, using Josh as an example. Josh, you told me to go right, and now I've gone left, and now I'm in the middle of nowhere, I've got no fuel, and it's a nightmare. It's your fault. Do you know what I'm saying? So this is what happened when David came across somebody else in the midst of this fire time. So they found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate. They gave him water to drink and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs. Oh, a cake of figs. Oh, I've never had... Sorry, I just thought they were separate. I didn't realize there's actually such thing as fig cake. I actually didn't. Sorry. And two clusters of raisins. I knew about those. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived, but he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. And David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because I fell sick 3 days ago. When he had made a raid against the Negev of the Cherethites and against that which belongs to Judah and against the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, 'Will you take me down to this band?' And he said, 'Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this band.'" Well, well, well. What happened there? That is a prime example of what you could be doing. David could have got very annoyed with this Egyptian slave. Couldn't he? You think, actually, hang on now, you were a part of taking the wives and burning my house. Why should I help you? But in fact, he took the time to feed the Egyptian man. And he was a slave. He was Egyptian, and he was a slave, the lower the low. But he fed him. He didn't think, "Sorry, love, I've got to go and save my family, so I can't give you a couple of raisins and a fig cake." So he took him, and then he took the time, and he gave him those things, and he looked after him. And actually, as a result, what happened is that the man helped him and brought him to where he needed to be. So that man was a divinely appointed man. Obviously, it was sad that he, you know, come down with the sickness. But God allowed it to happen. And it's almost like, I don't want to say that God tested us or tested him, but it was an opportunity for David to show, even in that situation, "I'm going to be humble, I'm going to take, and generous, I'm going to take care of this person." And I think in the same way, when we are going through something like this, it is so important that we're not self-focused. And we're looking at other people with the love that Jesus did. I mean, Jesus had a lot going on, didn't he? When he had these amazing miracles, he could have been tired. And to be honest, Jesus could have said, "Look, I've helped 1,500 people today." I don't know if he helped 1,500 people, but maybe... preaching the word, who knows? But I'm not going to help you, I'm tired. But it's like the woman with the issue of blood, you know, and he touched, and he had the time to turn around and say that she has been made well. And it's just amazing, isn't it? That we need to have that Christ-like love and generosity for other people, even in the midst of difficult situations, when we're hurting in whatever way it is. And I just want to say, it's not easy. It's not easy when you are going through it to show that love and compassion and to look beyond yourself. Because sometimes you just get so low and you're at the end of yourself and you think, "God, what is the point?" But the fact is that God is doing something. He is doing something really special, and God's ways are not our ways. And it can be difficult. I think what we can see here as well, that the Bible characters are not exempt from hardships. The Bible characters are ordinary people like you and me. We hear, we sing and read the Psalms and the amazing things that David has done. But we also need to remember, actually, David went through hell. like you're going through. Okay, it might be a different context, but David went through it. But then God brought him through that and he became king. And I really believe that probably the faith building that went on through that scenario really prepared him for what he would deal with as king. In order for wine, okay, to come from grapes, at some point they must be crushed. For a seed to grow, it must die. In order for a diamond to become a diamond, it must be put under immense pressure. Though these things happen, refinement will happen. And this comes through a change of perspective. God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? No. God, okay, you're allowing this to happen, but I understand that you are doing something greater. I have that vision. I have that perspective that looks beyond. And I just want to say as well, there is another in the fire with us. When we go through these trials, as I said, God is not up there. He's in here. He is all around us. And sometimes he can seem as if he is not listening, but he is listening. And you are precious to him. You are a follower of Jesus. I just want to emphasize this as well. When you belong to Jesus, you are his. You are his responsibility. He is not going to allow you to be taken over by the enemy. He is not going to allow you to be taken so far away for something so bad to happen. You are his. And his promises are true. And if we believe his promises in the Bible, we believe that God will protect us and look after us. He's not going to discard you, and he's not going to give you over to the enemy. God is not like the enemy. He loves and treasures you. You are his beloved child. And we know and we declare that God is a good father. So whatever you are going through, know that he does have your best interests at heart. And he does have a plan for your life. It might not directly look like your plan, but he has a plan. And I do believe that that is written in a book. That's what David says, isn't it? The days of our life are written in a book. And I do believe that. I just want to say, this is a beyond exciting time. Like, I really want to get excited. I really want to get excited. And sometimes it's hard because we can't always see it. But God is doing something. I don't know if you can feel it in the wind. God is doing something that we can hardly even fathom and be amazed beyond measure. Because God is bringing revival. And actually, I just want to say this. Revival is already here. Yeah. We are declaring, so God, bring revival. Revival is here. I hear about amazing stories of where miracles have happened, where people have been touched. God has touched them in his own space. And there's something, I mean, it's been building up in the last couple of years. And so, like COVID, and God spoke to me and he said a while ago, a winnowing fork. God is sifting and he's allowing things to happen, but it's so that there will be that separation, but also that God can do these amazing things and his people will be refined. So trust in the process. There is going to be signs and wonders and miracles that we can't even fathom or imagine. And the fact I want to say is, it's going to be here. And we are declaring that today. When we speak in the spirit and we declare the words out, something shifts in the spiritual realm. God is doing something amazing and He is preparing us for it. And we have to be ready. So just lean into what God is doing. Just lean into it. When I was going through a fiery trial of mine and things were going on and things were going on, but God spoke to me. I remember sitting in the park near where I live in Paddlesham. I thought, Lord, I cannot do this anymore. What is going on? It's from every side. I just cannot do this anymore. And He spoke to me as a whisper and He said, metamorphosis. And I was like, oh, hang on. That's the butterfly thing, Lord, isn't it? You know, and they change and they transform. And this actually comes from the Greek word metamorpho. And it means transformation. So when we're going through the hard times and we're like cocooned in this little cocoon, everything is on every side, we feel like we're in a prison, we can't get out of our situations, God is allowing this to happen. He's preparing us like the butterfly, and then eventually it will break and we will break out and we will fly in the right time with what God has for us. And we will come out as pure gold. And as I said at the beginning, the Lord emphasized the word Ziklag. Ziklag. That He is doing that process and He is purifying us. That those things that have been hidden inside, He's bringing out. And He's bringing them to the open, that we may be purified and have clean hearts. So this year, I sort of, at the start of the year, it was on New Year, and I'm hearing about all these people have words for the year. And I said, Lord, you know, do you have a word for the year? Like, what are you going to do this year? And He brought me to Isaiah 54:11-14. And He said, O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of a gate, your gates of carbuncles, and all your wall of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. And obviously this scripture points to the New Jerusalem. This points to what God is doing in the future and what He's got planned. But I felt what the Lord was saying to me is, we've been going through a horrendous time, and different people have had different things and at different places in this period. But what He's saying is that we might have felt afflicted, and we might have felt like we were in a storm and we haven't been comforted. But what the Lord is saying is, He is going to comfort us. And as we've been broken down, the Lord is going to rebuild our foundations. He's going to make us anew. He's going to lay our foundations with sapphires. And He will make our pinnacles of a gate. And your gates of carbuncle, His temple in you, your spiritual body, your spiritual man is going to be built up. And there's going to be a greater glory in this season. And that is so exciting.